are spread.
Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network's Look Back at the Clone Wars micro-series.
Against this threat, upon the Jedi Knights falls the duty to lead the newly formed Army of the Republic.
While the full-length Clone Wars show is on summer hiatus, come back to RepublicForces.com this summer and join Dan, Jen, Jerry, Barrett, and Nathan as they look back at all 25 episodes of the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars series that aired from 2003 through 2005.
You have been selected for this task because you are the best, the elite. You all know what to do.
In these matters, trust your insight, we do. May the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you all things Star Wars animation, continuing our summer coverage of the Clone Wars micro-series. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Episode 20, the season finale for the first... No, the season finale for the second season, the last episode on Volume 1 of the DVD, and as far as we knew at the time, the last Clone Wars cartoon we were going to be seeing. Now, they would, of course, go on later to show us five more and continue on, but at this point, this is all we thought we were getting. And joining me tonight, as always, at least for the summer, is Jen.
Hey there.
Jerry.
Hey, guys.
Barrett.
Hey, everybody, it's Barrett, Master Collect Maul on the forums, your Swan Holocron Enhancer, and it's good to be back.
And Nathan.
On the startling season finale of Clone Wars, General Grievous kills Scooby-Doo's stoner pal.
Hey, everybody.
Yes, we will learn the fate of Shaggy.
Zoinks!
I was very disappointed he didn't say Zoinks once.
I was waiting for that.
He does say Zoinks. He says Zoinks.
He does not
Zoinks.
Say Zoinks.
What? No.
In my mind, he says Zoinks.
When he gets squished, well, like as General Grievous is walking away, his body is on the ground going, Zoinks! There you go.
And I swore.
Sorry, Gotti.
And wasn't his lightsaber shaped like a Scooby snack also? I mean, it was pretty obvious it was Shaggy.
What the heck?
Speaking of stoner,
speaking of Scoop snacks, Barrett, I might have to ask that you don't have any before the show.
Speaking of stoner,
how much licorice have you had tonight?
How many Twizzlers have you eaten today?
I haven't had any Twizzlers.
No, more importantly, what's in the Twizzlers?
All right, so this episode, pretty much one big battle. I guess it's two big battles, isn't it? We come in on the end of the battle on Munalist, where the Republic forces are being led by a, I don't even know how to say the first word, but a
Shistavanin.
What Nathan said, Wolfman.
No, Dan, it's really easy. It's Wolfie from the Groovy Ghoulies. It's obvious. He's a Jedi, man.
The Groovy Ghoulies.
And Jerry ages, the 35% of the show's audience who remember the Groovy Ghoulies.
You know, this particular Shistavan and Wolfman, this is Vulvifman, you know, the play on Wolfman. They had done that whole thing where Cartoon Network said, okay, we're going to take three different characters, the Hammerhead, the Towels, and the Wolfman from the cantina in episode 4, I guess the original version of episode 4, because, you know, Lax Sivrak got yanked out of there. But we're going to take these characters and make Jedi based on their looks, their species, not necessarily those characters, and put them up as a poll on, I guess it was the website, where you could go and vote on which one you wanted to appear in the Clone Wars. And this guy won. And he winds up getting, like, 10 seconds of screen time, whereas the other two become Foul Modama and Roron Korob, who show up in season 3 and get a heck of a lot more action than this guy ever did. So this is the loserest winner that we probably will see throughout this entire series.
Yeah, but those guys got cut down bad. As far as we know, Wolfman Jack's still alive, right?
Yes, and what'll make Barrett happy is all three of them got action figures.
Yes, and
slick.
And I want to say, at Celebration 4 in Los Angeles, there was a guy that was dressed to the T, and he had the whole... And at that point in time, I had not seen this series, and I'm like, when did they come with the Wolfman Jedi? I'm like, when is Joe Camel going to be a Jedi, you know? And then
Well, that's Yak Face, by the way, but he's not.
Yeah, that's Yak Face, right. One is Joe Camel, but it's like, but I, at that time I had not seen it, and it, the guy, this guy had, it was, had costumed out at Celebration 4, and he was this Wolfman guy, and he was, it was great.
I saw it that was, dude, Baron. You're absolutely right. It was freaky. It's like he stepped off the screen.
Oh man! I mean, I think I take a picture with the guy, but I mean, he was just great. He was great.
So the Republic wins the battle, as we know from the last episode. The Banking Clan surrenders. Anakin returns from his little date with Asajj, and as Obi-Wan is reading him the riot act, he gets a call. And one thing interesting about this call, from the master, who I can't remember, but doesn't matter. He's dead now.
Doc anyway, Ben Barrick.
There we go. That's right, Mr. Barrick. Mr. Barrick! One thing about that call is that I always found interesting is that when he says General is hunting us, we never really got General Grievous's name at that point. I wonder, is that because they weren't entirely sure of what General Grievous's name was going to be in final production at this point? Or were they trying to keep us in the dark? Were they trying to keep secrets?
That must have, too, been another fan contest. And once again, the loserest name won.
Ouch.
Oh, just saying.
No, I think this is an issue of they were introducing Grievous kind of like they introduced Boba Fett in the holiday special. They wanted to sort of build up the menace beforehand. I mean, they knew what the character was called. I think they even had a name for him before they finished the final conceptualization of what he looked like. But if I remember correctly, this is supposed to be, or I think it's still supposed to be, the first instance where he's sort of unleashed on the Jedi, where they're like, holy crap, who is this new villain? Now that may get tweaked around, thanks to the new series and everything, but having it be instead of saying Grievous, unless it's just an alien way of saying it, it's not for our benefit of, whoa, who is it? It's keeping the Jedi in the dark. It's making this really a revelation for the character.
Yeah, I agree, because we as the audience know full and well who this character was. We got all the information. I think even by now, Star Wars Insider, even maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe that came a little later. But didn't Star Wars Insider even show the Episode 3 rendering of General Grievous pretty early on? Didn't we already get who this character was, even by Episode 3 standards?
We got a close-up shot, I remember very poignantly, around the time this episode came out. We got a picture in the Insider that was almost exactly like the close-up shot of that eye that we get in the series. Or in the actual episode where it focuses in on his eye. They actually reproduced that almost exactly on the screen, which I thought was pretty cool.
No, I wasn't thinking that. There was an issue on the cover where you saw him from like head to mid-chest level towards the actual rendering. Maybe it came later, but I thought by this time we really got who this character was going to be, and this was just more of a revelation of like how he moved and how deadly he was going to be, but I didn't think it was our first exposure to him as, you know, the character, and certainly not his name.
There is always, however, the chance now that they can go back and retcon it and say that the reason why they had it be General in this case was that this actually isn't Grievous, because this character is a badass, unlike the one who's in the cartoon series, apparently about to get his butt kicked by a Gungan.
That is true. And Nathan, you made the comment, I think it was you that made the comment, that this is the kind of the first time that he's been unleashed, and he is definitely unleashed at this point. We see a downed Republic cruiser surrounded by super battle droids, and they have obviously just routed the Republic in this battle. We have six straggling Jedi who are being offered a warrior's death, not being offered the chance to surrender, not being offered the chance to run away and warn your little Republic. They're going to die, and he's going to bring it to them.
This episode actually made me kind of angry because of like how they portrayed Grievous, and not because he was bad, but because he was so amazing in this. It reminded me why I was so angry by the time I got out of Revenge of the Sith with how they had used Grievous, because he's amazing in this. He's awesome. He's like not human, and he's doing all these flips and twists, and he's using his feet, and he's terrifying, and it's awesome, and I can't believe that he's used so crap now. I really wish they'd go back to this a little bit, because now he's like this mustache twirling I'll get you next time gadget joke.
And he never gets you the next time. That's all he does is twirl his mustache. And every time he like they morph him into like where he's like running on all fours, you kind of get like, okay, you know, he's going to bust something out. And then all he's doing is running on all fours. I mean, you know,
usually running away at that, right?
Yeah, running away, right. And, you know,
sorry, Tartakovsky, we can't let you play with Star Wars anymore. You just upstaged George.
Well, you know, another thing that I wanted to say was that in the beginning here, as you noticed, is that the clones are not portrayed as stormtroopers. They're portrayed as warriors now. And I don't, you know, after kind of seeing these back to back, if you guys can kind of see the difference now of how these are the good guys now, and we're trying to fight back the enemy instead of them being portrayed as hunters or seekers or going out and getting somebody. You know what I'm saying? So I was wondering if you guys can kind of see the contrast in these episodes now.
Nope.
You've been a certain point of view.
Sorry, Nathan did that to me a couple of times. I just wanted to see how it felt.
No, that's funny.
Now, you're right, though. I mean, they actually give some characterization. They take the time to give characterization to the clones here and do a pretty good job of it. In fact, they do a really good job of kind of capturing all the characters here. Granted, this was a slightly longer episode than normal, but still, it's not very long in the grand scheme of things. And pretty much all the Jedi even wind up getting at least a little bit of characterization. I mean, not much, but enough that we sort of get them as individual personalities to a degree between their character design and what they're saying. They packed a lot into this episode. It's like they were able to expand out. Like we've said before about how when the current Clone Wars series expands into multi-episode story arcs, they can fit more into it and more explanation, more can happen, more character development. It's sort of like they did the same thing here, except they were working with such a tiny amount before that it's really amazing that only expanding that by a little bit, still into much less than a regular Clone Wars episode these days, they can fit a lot into it. It shows really some skill on Tartakovsky's part, probably because he tends to work with short-form animation so much.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about these Jedi that we meet here. And we'll start with the elephant in the room, Shaggy. Now, I know I've made references to this in the past. I actually don't mind Shaggy as much as I let on. I thought it was funny. It was clever when we saw him on Cartoon Network. And I know I've said I don't want to see Ben 10 show up as a Padawan in the current series. And we all know that's never going to happen because of the way the new series is handled. But honestly, for what it was and when it was, and these little 3-minute episodes here and there, seeing that kind of nod was pretty funny. It wasn't horrible.
Well, the thing
would have been horrible if he talked in the voice.
You know, the thing back then was, though, that when you and they did at one point want to have the character have the high-pitched voice, but they said that it didn't work for the character. It didn't fit as a Jedi. But when he first showed up on screen, he didn't have a name yet. He didn't get a name until very shortly thereafter when they put him into the data bank on StarWars.com. So people who saw it went, dude, is it? Maybe you shouldn't say dude when you're talking about a stoner like Shaggy, but dude, it's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And people are like, no, it can't be. It's just us seeing things. And then, boom, it shows up on the data bank and becomes just this uproarious, hilarious thing tying back into this. It was one of those times where StarWars.com's data bank, instead of just giving us little tidbits of information that you kind of shrug at, gave us something that was absolutely laugh out loud. I got to wonder if Tartakovsky actually gave him that name or if that was just the data bank writers coming up with it. But whoever did it, to give it that name instead, the S-H-A apostrophe A and then the last name G-I, that was a stroke of brilliance, even beyond the character design itself.
I got to wonder if his Jedi Starfighter is kind of a teal with fluorescent flowers on it. And
are you telling me that his name is Shaggy?
Yeah, Shaggy. That's his name.
You've never heard that?
No. I always thought, I never did any research. I always thought that, I just took it for granted that, you know,
Nathan would do the research for you.
His lightsaber was shaped like a Scooby snack.
It's not shaped like a Scooby snack. How is it shaped like a Scooby snack?
It is shaped like a Scooby. It's round and it's
shaped like a lightsaber.
Shaped like a Scooby snack, and if you mean that way, in that they're all kind of roundish.
He had to have eaten a Scooby snack in order to rush out to his death and get stomped on.
I just like the fact that he's got the way they draw under his eyes. They give it that like really heavy lid thing. Like he really has been doing some kind of drug before going into the battle. I mean, it's not that he's battle weary, because so is everybody else. But this guy's been on something.
Yeah, he says yes to the death sticks.
What is with the yes?
Somewhere there's an empty bottle of cough medicine.
He went home to rethink his life. He didn't want to fight Grievous. But you know what? The one thing that really bothered me about this was how the Jedi were portrayed. Why are the Jedi scared to die? They are not supposed to be scared to die. They are supposed to do their mission, do their duty and perform as best they can. And these Jedi are scared to die. And I just did not like that about this episode. Why are they scared to die?
Baron's right. They really do. And I know somebody marked the date. Baron's right. no arguing here. They do portray them as very pansy. I mean, even you look at the character of Kukruk, the character who winds up making it from the Clone Wars era all the way up into the Legacy era. He's like one of these Jedi character who just seems like they need kryptonite to get rid of. You look at him, he's like all dejected and slumping over. It's not just the Padawan in this case. They make all these Jedi seem really, weak. I mean, I guess you could say it's a shock because they've never faced something like Grievous before, but to have them just, hiding out, moping, waiting for death really doesn't seem very Jedi-like. He's right.
I think one of the things that this show is doing well here, whether it meant to or not, was showing how so unprepared a Padawan and maybe even some lesser experienced non-Jedi master Jedi might be for the Clone Wars, thrusting them in this war. This war happened overnight almost, it seems, and the Jedi are forced to be something they're not, which are generals. Ki-Adi Mundi, I think, certainly was a little nervous. I didn't think it was because he was afraid to die in so much as that he just wanted to try to save everyone else, get everybody else out, and really further the battle. I never took it as a personal, oh no, I'm scared, in so much as like, okay, how what do we do here? How do I get out of this? I gotta think. I that's how I took it, at least on him. The other ones, you guys are right. Shahagi does not belong in a war. He shouldn't be holding a lightsaber as twitchy as he is.
I think the only reason that people didn't have more of a problem with Shaggy is basically because he's a red shirt and he dies like the most gratifying kind of death. So like I had no memory of this Shaggy character, or maybe I just didn't read the website or something like that, but I was ready after what I've heard people say about how horrible he is. I thought he wasn't that bad, and the fact that he just gets squashed is awesome. But I did think it was kind of weird the way they had the other Jedi, especially the masters like Ki-Adi Mundi and Shakti, as really kind of sweating over this. But now that you said that, Jerry, I can kind of see it better, because it's like throwing a cop into a war zone. Their training is totally different for what they've been kind of used to dealing with, and they're so out of their depth that I can kind of see how it may not be a fear of death, but kind of just, I don't know what to do at this point. Oh my crap. Like, what do I do? And so, and that they've got this inhuman droid creature guy bearing down on them. I can kind of see how you'd sweat a little bit.
There was an awesome fan-made video. I haven't found this in a while. I actually was looking for it when we were getting ready to talk about this episode. There was a great fan video that took clips from the movie Friday and this action sequence here, and had that great moment where Shaggy gets squished, and you see Chris Tucker doing that whole rolling back going, damn! And somewhere along the way, you get the other Jedi being knocked around, and just it repeatedly cuts back to, you got knocked the blank out! Over and over again. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen done with clips of this show, and I can't find it anywhere. I mean, this was something that was out, I think, predating YouTube, or at least before YouTube got as big, and I cannot find it anywhere.
Ki-Adi Mundi's face is shaped like a Scooby snack.
Stop! Just stop with the freaking Scooby snack!
You know, actually, Dan, I'll go with him on that one.
Okay. His head is shaped like that to hold his second heart.
Scooby snacks are what takes Aayla Secura's butt from the way it is here to the way it is in the other series.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe Scooby snacks was yet another way that Shakti was supposed to die. I mean, she dies all over the place anyway.
Yes, yes, she does, doesn't she? There are other Jedi here with notable notoriety. One, the one that strikes me the most being the Whippet Jedi, whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
Kukruk.
Thank you. Who has shown his face in the Republic comics, in the latest Legacy series. Barrent, again, he made action figure. Sure, was the very difficult to find TRU exclusive wave.
Yes, he was the Toys R Us exclusive wave that came with the space trooper, the dark trooper and the space trooper. Yes.
But he's a character that has shown up since this. So even though we see him die, he's not dead. How is that, Nathan? How does that happen?
It's basically like a hibernation kind of thing. Like he goes into a healing hibernation type of circumstance, which is funny because, I mean, we see him there. I mean, it's pretty much clear that what they were meaning to have us believe was that he was dead. And that was actually something that freaked people out continuity-wise when this first aired. But remember, kind of taking this back into the bigger picture, this series was not meant to be in-universe canonical at all when it was first being produced. They later decided they were going to fit it in before the series finally went through its final airing. It's actually kind of, I think, they made a decision right after this episode, before they aired 21 through 25. So, you know, maybe they thought they were killing off a character that it didn't matter because, yeah, he lives elsewhere, but this wasn't going to count anyway.
So as I alluded to, we've seen Master Kukruk as recent as the Legacy War series, correct, Nathan? And is he's still gallivanting around as a master, correct?
That is correct. We go from seeing him in the Clone Wars to seeing him in even the Dark Times comics set during the gap between the two trilogies. And then you don't really hear much about him during the time when Luke's setting up his new Jedi Order. You would think he would pop out and offer to help or something. But apparently he does wind up joining them eventually because prior to the start of the Legacy series, he's with those Jedi, with Cole Skywalker, Cade Skywalker's father, and eventually he becomes part of that so-called Hidden Temple that plays very prominently in the latter half of Legacy War. He is the most well-traveled Jedi, aside from perhaps Yoda, that we've ever seen.
But they do not show him die. They don't show the scene. They kind of imply it, but they don't show him getting lightsaber down.
He stabs downward, but then you see his hand like sitting there with the lightsaber near it later in chapter 21.
What they do is they show him in a defensive stance, and Grievous, he takes a swing at Grievous, and Grievous takes a swing down, but it does not show him dying at all. But it shows Shakti's face, and she, you know, uses a force move to like throw some debris at Grievous, but it never shows a death blow.
Well, yeah, so, the kill shot on him isn't nearly as blatant.
There is no kill shot. I'm arguing that there isn't a kill shot, that it just cuts. And, you know, there is no kill shot. So I think that the continuity is solved.
But you get him stabbing downward, yes. But then in 21, when they're talking about who's alive or not, you see his hand next to the lightsaber just kind of like sitting there on the ground. His body's off screen, but you see his hand sitting there. And before they leave, Ki-Adi-Mundi is asking who is still alive. And he names off who's still alive. Oh, and the rest, they're all dead. The clone troopers pronounce him dead before they leave. Or somebody pronounced, I think it's the clone troopers that pronounce him dead. Somebody in 21 flat out says, if we're not bringing him with us, they are dead. So it's
maybe they
down.
Just don't know where to check for his pulse.
Apparently not.
I mean, I couldn't find the pulse on my dog, so that was a bad analogy, wasn't it? So Master Kukruk isn't really dead. He's just mostly dead. Come on, nobody's going to give me that.
I'm not quite dead yet, sir.
I was actually going with the Princess Bride there, but
yes,
okay.
I got that one. Mostly dead.
I think they're going to pull through, sir.
But the other Conehead, he's real dead. Even though him and a sailor were both kind of grabbed in the same way. And that was just totally, that was bad. Grievous grabs them both by the head with his feet and throws them against the ceiling.
Yeah, that's Tarsier, created for this appearance, and this is pretty much all the action he gets.
So Tarsier and Ayla are thrown into the ceiling, and then Shakti, as she's about to be struck down, does a little force repulse, or what was it? Wait, what was Barrent's word?
The force pushback.
Yes, kind of does a force pushback against Grievous's lightsaber and throws herself into the wall.
Oops.
And saves herself.
Saves herself, pretty much. And we see Ki-Adi-Mundi is the only one left versus General Grievous, who's fighting with three lightsabers, two in hand, one in foot. And I have to agree with a lot of the statements made at the beginning of this episode. If Grievous had fought like this, if he had been juggling lightsabers and catching them with who knows what appendage to put the smackdown on Obi-Wan in episode 3, we would have been standing up screaming at the screen, cheering him on in Revenge of the Sith. Instead, he just busts out the forearms and goes all Ginsu. Not really that exciting.
Now, go ahead.
And he does that here too.
He doesn't have the same body though in episode 3, because we've seen him change parts. In Lair of Grievous, in the current series, he has different body parts. So he's not the same Grievous as he is when he fights Obi-Wan. So he may not have the same abilities to jump around and have three arms. And I mean, he has the four arms, but like to be able to jump around and do that, he doesn't have the same body anymore. We know that he switches out his parts, and maybe the parts that he has are subpar when he's fighting Obi-Wan in episode 3. That's kind of how I took it.
Master, well, would you like your replacement parts? We forgot. We left your balls out of this set.
He should have gotten a spare made of that body that kind of opens up and gets all wicked. Because when he pops down and like his ribs pop out and he just kind of expands all over, that was kind of bad. That was pretty cool. That would have been intimidating rather than the that he did all through episode 3.
Yeah, I think we're forgetting the fact that we're not at these episodes yet, but when we're comparing this to episode 3, Mace Windu did crush his chest. I don't get why he coughed, but he still had the only vital, you know, organic parts of him like hindered. Now, I don't know why that changed his jumping ability, but yeah, Parent, you're making him sound like Iron Man to where he's like, well, I'm not wearing my my Inferno armor right now, so.
But that doesn't explain away the way he's so pansified in the Clone Wars cartoon series, or even the coughing that he does at times in the cartoon series.
Clearly not.
Because the crushing comes immediately before episode 3. That was supposed to be why he's coughing in episode 3, and they just decided, well, it's so iconic for the character to make him an asthmatic, we're going to go ahead and do that for, you know, the Clone Wars. I'm waiting for the anti-smoking campaign ad to be tacked onto the end of the Clone Wars credits. See, I was going to go a different way on the let's find a way to explain it away. Not just he could possibly have different body parts, but prior to this incarnation of Grievous's backstory, the previous backstory talked about how whenever he was blown up in the shuttle that was rigged by Dooku, what kept him alive was infusions. I think this was with Visionary, so it may be something that they've kicked out of canon since then. But there was a story, I think, in Visionaries where they gave him infusions of Sypha Deus's blood, that Dooku kept Sypha Deus's body alive to use the midichlorian-infused blood later, and he used it to keep Grievous going. Well, just like any other drug, anything else you're infused with, eventually it wears out. He used the last of his badass blood here, and then he's just running on regular old puny Grievous blood later.
Wow. Yeah, I'm so glad that theory or that idea isn't canon. Jedi blood gives you a temporary force kick? No. I don't like it.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
But it's all carried by the microscopic things in your blood. Qui-Gon told me so.
Now, one thing I did really like about this episode is it gives us that the walk that Grievous has, and that'll come into play in the not the finale, but it'll come to play in the next season when Shakti is there with Palpatine and she hears the walk, and you know, she kind of has her little nom flashback there of everything that went wrong, so horribly wrong, the last time she met Grievous. So I like that little bit of and I don't know, I'm sure it's not foreshadowing since they didn't even know that was going to be coming, but I like how that's reused later.
Speaking of reusing stuff later, though, you mentioned the whole idea that he's sort of spinning the blades, doing the whole Ginsu type of thing. It's funny because when I saw that in episode 3, when he's spinning the blades, I thought, wow, that's cheap. Wow, that's really lame. When he's doing it here and spinning around, it fits. I don't know if it's because it's animation or what, but it really seems to make sense as he's spinning around and he's hitting all these different Jedi with the blades just swirling around his body, especially when he's almost moving like a top from that overhead view in a couple of shots. But seeing something very similar with the spinning blades in episode 3 really sort of kicked me out of the moment. Am I the only one who felt that way?
Well, he moves in this. He's moving the rest of himself. Whereas in episode three, he looks like a ceiling fan, like coming at you, like someone turned it on its side. He's just kind of walking really slow. And I guess that's supposed to be menacing, but it looks lame. And in this, he's like a little ninja. He's bouncing everywhere and he's spinning at the same time. So he's like this death top thing that like, and like, there's even a scene where all the Jedi, it's like a pinata. They're all in a circle around him, like whacking away with their lightsabers. And he's just spinning and nothing can hit him. And it's a lot more, I guess, for lack of a better word, animated. And it gives it more validity, I think, than him just standing there spinning his wrists.
I'm sorry, we cannot use the term death top. I'm pretty sure that's a super weapon in a Bantam era novel.
Was that a Death Star super laser mounted on a top, right? Because that's what they did with everything.
Well, you see, it was a Death Star prototype super laser mounted on a top.
That's what it was.
Got thrown into a sun or something.
Because every third weapon in the Bantam era was a prototype super laser mounted on something.
Correct. And the plans for this one came from the Geonosians and from like 20 other people. They wanted to make it match the Death Star as close as possible, yet be a top. It's the Death Dreidel.
Wow.
Dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. Dreidel, 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 the Jedi you will slay. Eh? No, thank you very much. I'll be here all week. I'm sorry, Ginger Prince or whoever it was. It's not a fan of the singing.
It's Strone.
Oh, I'm sorry, Strone.
It's
too easy.
I'd like to apologize to all of our Jewish friends first.
Well, you know, the way the Hollywood's going right now, you know, maybe if we did in a Mel Gibson accent, nobody would care.
Wow. All right. Well, this episode ends on truly a cliffhanger because not only do we not know the fates of some of our beloved Jedi, like Aayla Secura and Shakti and even Ki-Adi Mundi, we didn't know anything else was coming after this except for Revenge of the Sith. Little did we know. And that is what we will begin with next week when we come back with episode one of season three, which aired how many years later?
Yeah, so Dan, we actually had a full year between the end of, let's say, episode 20, the season two, and the season three. So March of 04 to about March of 05, because the last five episodes were just months before the movie episode three hit.
Yeah, coming soon, we unravel the continuity mess left at the end of this cliffhanger and create a whole bunch of new ones.
Yeah, because as awesome as season three is, boy, it wreaks havoc on... Well, is it really that it wreaks havoc on things, or is it that havoc is brought down upon it because so many other things were done simultaneously?
It's kind of a little bit of everything. They were trying to purposely make the cartoon series tie into a novel that was meant to tie into a web strip, and because they were all being made at the same time, they wound up being substantially different, to the point where the ending scene of this entire micro series where they're ready to jump off to Coruscant because they just got the warning message, yeah, they're not really doing that anymore. It's bizarre the way they've had to fix it, and they've done like three fixes for it already. So it's going to be an interesting next few episodes.
Now, ironically, yeah, we'll get into this more, but really, if they had said everything that Anakin and Obi-Wan were doing in the micro series didn't really happen, I wouldn't really have that much of a problem with it. Now, the stuff on Coruscant, that's just cool. That needs to stay. But everything else, nah, that can go. I'm not worried.
But it's the Coruscant stuff Coruscant stuff also clashes with it, too. I think that we could all probably say that if they... I would love to see somebody like a Tartakovsky do a new Star Wars cartoon series, kind of like this one, similar style, similar aesthetics, you know, doing the fast-paced stuff, but purposely say, going into it, this is not bound by any continuity whatsoever. Have fun. How awesome would that be, giving somebody like Tartakovsky with that type of creative fire his own playground within Star Wars? That would be amazing, but they won't do it because they're so bound by this idea that everything must fit, and it doesn't always fit well.
Yeah, seeing what he did with prequel era stuff, it would be interesting to see him kind of tap into events during, if not including, things from the original trilogy. See that rendered in this kind of animation, kind of with the no holds barred, larger than life force powers and just everything. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. And but like you said, that will never, ever, ever happen. And shortly after the end of season 2, episode 20, we started receiving the digest size Clone Wars Adventures. And Nathan is going to tell us a little bit about that series.
So let's take a look at this Clone Wars Adventures comic series from Dark Horse Comics. The Gindy Tartakovsky micro series, as we call it, aired from November 2003 through March 2005 in three spurts, you could call it, three seasons. And much like the current Clone Wars television series, it had its own comic book tie-in from Dark Horse Comics. Unlike the modern cartoon series, though, which had its own regular comic series, regular-sized comics that combined to make longer story arcs, and a series of digest-sized comics, that's sort of these thicker but smaller in dimensions comics, kind of like the current Star Wars Adventure series, that almost look like little kids' books, sort of flat until you realize they're comics, not books, that these days have one long story each. The micro series combined those two concepts, short stories and digest-sized stories, into a series of 10 digest-sized comics that each contain several different smaller stories, three to begin with and four as the series grew. The series, entitled Clone Wars Adventures, not to be confused with the current MMO of the same name, ran from July 2004 through December 2007, long after the cartoon series was over with. The quality of the series varied, with most stories being pretty lackluster, completely lacking in impact, and often retreading old ground, such as Order 66 in the later issues. That isn't to say that the series was totally without merit, but it certainly wasn't one of the more impactful or interesting Star Wars comic series of the last decade or so. Let's run down the issues here and hit the highlights. Volume 1 featured three stories, one of which takes place immediately after Kit Fisto's chapter in Volume 1, or Season 1, of the micro series. There was more on Mon Calamari, or Dak, than we realized. Unfortunately, this edition was also on newsprint paper, rather than the better paper almost always used by Dark Horse these days, making it a less stunning entry into the series. The second volume featured a story called Hide in Plain Sight, with Luminara Unduli and Barriss Offee, which was also a free comic book day issue in 2004. It also featured a story that I really liked, more for its concept than its content, called Skywalkers, which deals with a flashback that older Obi-Wan has during A New Hope while he's telling Luke about his father, which then also sort of blends or bleeds into a flashback that Vader has upon cutting Obi-Wan down later in the same film. Rather cool, yes. Still on the crappier paper. Also, unfortunately, yes. The third volume upped the number of stories per issue from 3 to 4, which also unfortunately meant that the short stories were made even shorter. While still on newsprint, this one includes a story entitled Rogue's Gallery, a test that Dooku prepares for Grievous, where he's pitted against Ventress and Dirge. The fourth volume pushed us closer to Revenge of the Sith, with better paper from then onward. The issue included four stories, one of which took readers to Kashyyyk in the lead-up to Revenge of the Sith, complete with Chewbacca and Tarful, while another gave us our first story in the series to include the Episode 3-era look for Anakin, along with an appearance by Sarah Kito, apprentice to Syndralic, who you fight in the Episode 3 video game. The fifth volume was nothing to really write home about, as the stories became more generic. The same could be said for Volume 6, though both did tend to focus on other Jedi instead of just Anakin and Obi-Wan all the time. The seventh volume brought us an odd Spy Girls type of story for Padme and Shelte, and the eighth included Aura Sing. The ninth brought us Dexter Jetster as a hero and Quinlan Vos in animated style. The final issue, Volume 10, was, again, nothing special, and a ho-hum ending to a ho-hum series. With writers like the Philbach brothers, Jeremy Barlow, Jason Hall, and others, the series could have been better, but it was constrained by the inability to affect the Clone Wars unfolding around it in the more mainstream Dark Horse comics and Del Rey novels. Overall, Clone Wars Adventures is an okay time killer, but at $6.95 cover price per issue, thus almost $70 for the entire series, this is one your wallet would thank you for avoiding. Your brain might as well. Sorry, Dark Horse. This series was a miss.
Thank you, Nathan. And speaking of books, you just had a book favorably reviewed over on Books and Nachos, did you not?
That is correct. It's the first Wars volume. It's that Wars, the Battle of Phobos series that we've been doing. My first one, called Healers and Hunters, came out a while back, and Arnie was kind enough to review it for Books and Nachos. And actually, just recently, for those who saw the price point of that one being a little bit high because it was an illustrated sort of prestige format version, we have just recently, finally, put out a paperback edition that has my novella in it, plus the first one by Sean E. Williams, and the first one by fellow Star Wars fan audio guy Jim, or Indiana Jim as he's also known, Perry, all in one volume. It's called Wars, the Battle of Phobos Preludes. You can find it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, but frankly, I'd go with Barnes & Noble because I think it's about $4 or $5 cheaper on there, but I'd love to hear what people think of it, especially after Arnie's sort of glowing review there.
All right, so those of you who are looking for some summer reading, go over and check that out. And speaking of summer reading, it is time to announce the winner of our Weta's collectible book that was generously donated to us by Reverend Strone. Thank you again, Daniel, for doing that. And the winner of the Weta book is BF3000. BF3000. So if this is you, simply send a PM to our own Master Collect-em-all and give him all of your shipping information and he will get that off to you and enjoy that book from all of us at RFRN and the good folks at Weta and especially our good friend Reverend Strone. And I want to thank all of you for joining us for this discussion of episode 20 of the Clone Wars micro series. I invite you all to come back next week where we will begin season 3, episode 21, and we will find out what happens to these Jedi and get some awesome action from our beloved arcs. Want to thank Jen, Jerry, Nathan, and Barrett for joining me tonight, and we will see you all next week.
See you, Dan.
See you next time.
See ya.
Catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Barrent, and Nathan P. Butler of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all of the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademarked Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated, copyright 2011, all rights reserved.
Two minutes.
Exactly 2 minutes. If you're not back by 10:31, we start without you.
2 minutes.
That's enough time to watch two-thirds of an episode of this series.
If you're trying to watch
the final episode, it's not going to work because that one's like
I'm not trying to watch the final episode, Rockstar. I'll be right back. 2 minutes.
Okay.
Clock's ticking. No. Oh, man.
All right, everybody run to the restroom, get a drink. Jerry, eat your chips.
I was thinking about the one from he actually always reminded me from, I don't know if you guys did you guys ever watch a show in the late 70s, early 80s called The Groovy Ghoulies?
Yeah, the Ghoulie Get-Together.
There's the Groovy Ghoulies. Oh, my goodness.
There's a wolf man in that that's like identical to this guy.
That's the good old days when all the cartoons encouraged kids to go out and solve mysteries and join a band.
Jerry, I cannot believe you just...
Somebody brought up the nicknames, like the different character nicknames at Con Carolinas, and I forget who it was, but they hadn't seen much of the current Clone Wars series. And I mentioned the Sky Guy thing, and they thought it was a joke. And when I said, and this is a very just conservative, reserved, very quiet individual, and when I mentioned that Ahsoka refers to R2 as R2-y, the response I got was, "Are you kidding me?" which was beautiful. This is one of these people that I could never imagine cussing in my life just drops the F-bomb on R2-E. It was beautiful. Hang on, let me get
this
other
me. 1 9-minute episode. No excuse for this to be over 30 minutes.
Holiday special.
Yeah, I was just going to
I got something sucky said. Caught in my throat there. Sorry.
I just caught what you said. That was...
Just make me the last goodbye.
Yes, yes, I shall. Isn't that a movie, The Last Goodbye? Anyway.
I know it's an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, but I think I just made myself a lot of enemies.
That's not staying in there.
No, it's the long goodbye, isn't it? Not last goodbye.
We don't
get
yes.
out.
We don't talk the Trek.
Oh, I got your... No, I was on mute. I got your joke. No, that was good. That was good.
Is that what happens when all my jokes fall flat? You guys are just muted?
Yes.
Can I at
least
pretend?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan.
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
I don't even remember what I was saying anymore.
We were just coming. We had just come back from the review, and you hadn't said anything yet.
Ah, even better. Barrett, say goodbye.
I was trying to think of something funny. Thank you. I was trying to work in the Scooby snacks. Like, you know,
let them go.
Scooby.
Let them go. Let them go.
Barrett, would you come back? Oh, I got one. Barrett, would you come back next week for a Scooby snack?
Oh, I can't do Scooby. I was gonna try to. No, thanks, Rockstar. It's always great being with my friends, you know, talking Star Wars. So I can't wait until the next show, guys.
I got one. So before we leave, does anybody happen to have a new book that's out? Anybody?
Why, thank you, Jerry. I just happened to.
Yeah, sure.
I like that one. I like Jerry's better, too, though. Jerry's is funny. Jerry's like, by the way, is anybody have a shameless
plug? Yeah, and Jerry is pretty funny.
Can't really
though.
Hide it. God, that makes me so horny when you talk about your book. I'm such a star.
God, man. Okay,
this
Nathan.
Is why we don't do the live shows anymore, because we had people in the chat.
Does my book make you horny? Yes, it does.
We need a 5-second delay.
That's why we don't do this the live chat. You're probably right.
Because of the wampas and stuff, yeah.
Arnie probably made a good decision. Not to.
Okay, shut up, let Nathan say goodbye, and then
do as
you will. There, now be stupid. I don't care.
Because I'm leaving.
Damn. Poor Dan.
Okay, guys, I'm sorry. You guys are the one who choose the time, man. You can choose it anytime you want. That doesn't bother me.
Can't
as much as we're all cussing and stuff, I'm waiting for the day that Dan finally just says, shut the f*** up to somebody. I want to hear Dan just explode.
That'll never happen, Doug. Dan losing his patience would be like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Leslie, maybe.
And then somebody in the background, like somebody in his family goes, Dan! And he turns around and goes, you too! And then all of a sudden,
I'll try it out at Disneyland in August next year. I'll try try to piss him off or something. No, Dan.
You can't make me
mad in the happiest place on earth. That doesn't work.
We can record you guys like having a fist fight.
So you guys are, we're done? Is that it? We're good?
Yeah, we're done.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, you and me, we're done.
We're next. So next week, we're here.
Yes,
same bad time,
week, same bad time,
channel.
Same bad channel.
I don't know what you heard. That's what I meant to say.
Jared, I can't wait to meet you. Besides telling her all the times you call her a nerd on the show.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jen. I mean, everything comes out wrong. You know, it just comes out wrong. So.
Oh, okay.
It's all good.
Barrett, I take it back. Please go back to talking about Scooby snacks. I want to hear more.
And speaking of our stone pal,
I think that honestly, this recording episode was one of the best ones we've had in a long time. Really. I really do. I think we all talked. I think it was great, man. It was great. Now, can I get the f*** off the phone, please? Is that okay?
And there's Jesus the last Christ. Outtake for this episode.